Love singing this doxology. I think you did too. And I remember I grew up singing this song often around the dinner table at our home as a reminder of who ultimately provides all the blessings in our lives. For every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, as it says in James chapter 1:17. And really, this doxology invites us, doesn't it, to acknowledge that our true benefactor, our only Savior, our the source of all blessing, the author of every good thing in our lives, is Jesus, God our Father, the Holy Spirit. It's a song that invites us really to boast in the Lord, isn't it? To take joy in the Lord. To boast in the Lord, to use biblical language, to boast in our great God, which is something that I trust we have been doing all along already as we have gathered here this morning. But I want to ask you a question this morning, and that is, what if instead of receiving great blessing, we are met with great hardship? What if instead of gaining wonderful benefits, blessings from above, something of great value is taken away from us? A group of us from our congregation here traveled to Kamloops on Friday to attend a funeral, the funeral of a little boy, little Jesse, 2.5 years old. He's the nephew to John and Victoria Siemens, who are members of our congregation, part of our small group. And what happened is that last week, and Victoria's brother, Alex, backed out of his driveway with his truck. He didn't see his little boy. Didn't see his little boy who was behind the truck, and Jesse was instantly killed. Now, what do we do when, instead of blessings gained, what we thought to be a great blessing in our lives is taken from us? How do we respond when, instead of benefits, adversity visits our doorstep? And I want to suggest to us this morning that which we affirm by faith, what we put our confidence in, what we ultimately boast in, determines how we respond to everything in life. What we affirm by faith, what we put our confidence in, what we boast in, ultimately determines how we respond to every situation in life, be it a hard or easy one, a bumpy or smooth ride, be it complex or simple proposition, be it something that is painful or pleasurable, in everything, what we affirm by faith, what our confidence rests in, what we boast in, determines how we respond to everything, every situation in life. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 21, where we left off a couple of Sundays ago. But before we even go there, let me set up this passage for you. And we're only going to focus on a couple of verses this morning. But let me give you the context again. We've been studying the book of Romans in these last weeks. And we discovered that in these first three chapters of Romans, we discovered that humanity is in a great big deal of trouble. We are in trouble. There's bad news before we get to the good news. And Paul's argument in these first three chapters is that it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you are a secularist, an irreligious person, who fails to glorify God with his or her life and fails to give him thanks. Chapter 1:21. It doesn't matter if you are a moralist who thinks of himself as being a good person a righteous person, a better person than other persons, one who judges others, but fails to get it right himself, chapter 2, verse 1. Or if you are a religious person, one who relies on your background, let's say, or your religious practices, chapter 2, 17, or on the law itself to make you right with God. It doesn't matter, Paul says. He concludes that you are all without excuse, chapter 1:20, chapter 2:1. You will not escape God's judgment, chapter 2, verse 3. You are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's judgment, chapter 2, verse 5. There is no wiggle room. There's no escape. There's no favoritism. There are no exemptions. Chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. But, don't you love that little word when there's bad news and then there's this little word that appears? But. Chapter 3, verse 21. You see, but just when there is no hope, when there's no way, no solution for sinners like you and me, and we are headed full speed toward judgment and eternal separation from God. But the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Verse 22, this righteousness is not something that we earn or work for, but is a righteousness that is given to us, given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely. We are declared perfectly righteous before God by His grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And so here Paul reiterates, as he does so often in his writing, the glorious message of the gospel. And he assures us here once again that we are given this righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, which means that God, and we've talked about this, it means that God credits our sin, our guilt, to Christ on the cross, where God's justice is vindicated, and God credits Christ's righteousness to us so that we are made perfectly righteous. Our sin on Christ, His righteousness on us. This is what justification is all about. Through Jesus, God sees us who believe, who have faith in Him. He sees us just as if we had never sinned because of Jesus. And this once and for all transaction, we are declared not guilty. I mean, hang that over your bed if you need to remind yourselves. We are declared not guilty, and this not guilty verdict can only be received as a gift, Paul says here. By faith, not by any other way, not by any other means, not by any other effort, not by any of our trying. And so in light of this amazing life-altering truth, I mean, do you know the gospel? Do you know the meaning? Do you know the implications? Do you know how amazingly great the message of the good news of Jesus is? I mean, somebody say amen. Come on, guys. You know, in light of this life-changing truth, Paul now draws the appropriate application. If this is true, if it is true that you and I were utterly lost, that we were without hope for forgiveness, without any prospect of ever being able to earn God's favor by any of our own efforts, without hope of ever gaining freedom from the bondage of our guilt and our sin, without hope of escaping God's judgment, without any prospect of eternal life, except except for God's provision and His provision alone to rescue us from our sins without us even deserving any of it, without our deserving His grace, without us deserving His love, without us deserving His sacrifice for us? Then the question that now follows is this: where then, verse 27, chapter 3, where then is boasting? I mean, we can look at ourselves all we want, but if this is true, if the gospel is true, what are we going to boast about? Where then is boasting, Paul asks. And I believe this is a crucial question for us, that I want to take this Sunday to focus on this question, because it is a personal question to us. What do we have to boast about? You know, the idea of boasting generally has a negative connotation, doesn't it? I mean, generally speaking, we're probably not eager to hang around people that boast a lot about themselves, right? We generally aren't drawing to people that are given to boasting. You know, we may think of the story of David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, you remember that story from Sunday school days? We read there of this great Philistine warrior, Goliath, who keeps taunting the Israelite army, boasting about his greatness, until one day David, the shepherd boy, shows up and he agrees to fight him in a one-to-one battle. And Goliath, it says there, despised David, and he cursed him. And he announced that he would give David's flesh to the birds and the wild animals to eat. Goliath was boastful, wasn't he? Goliath was rather confident, self-confident. And that is really at the root of the meaning of what it is to boast. We boast in that which we place our confidence in. Isn't that true? We boast in what we put our faith in. What you boast in says something about what you place your worth in, even. What we boast in determines how we respond to any given circumstance in life, may it be a wonderful circumstance or a difficult one. Now, Goliath, he put his confidence in what? In himself, in his own strength, right? In his strength, in his ability. And thus he responded, how? He responded in pride. He responded with self-confidence. And you know, this is not an uncommon thing in our day and age. Never has been. You know, self-confidence is a value that is greatly encouraged and celebrated in our culture today, isn't it? I mean, we teach self-confidence to our little kids. When you apply for a job, one of the things that your interviewer will look for is how confident are you in yourself? Read this little blurb that says self-confidence is a superpower. Once you start to believe in yourself, magic starts to happen. In what do you place your confidence? In our text in Romans chapter 3, we learn that the gospel leaves no room for boasting. It leaves no room for boasting in the sense that there is no room for boasting in ourselves. It would be completely illogical to believe in the gospel and at the same time to put confidence in our own achievements to justify ourselves somehow. Tim Keller puts it this way. He says, to boast in our own achievements is like a drowning man clutching a fistful of $100 bills. He's going down. He's drowning. He's clutching on to a few $100 bills, and he's shouting, I'm okay. I'm okay. I've got money. You see, whatever we have is not enough. Whatever we have is not enough. We cannot pay our way out of God's wrath and His judgment on sin. We need to be rescued. We need to be rescued. And so it says in verse 27 here, where then is boasting, Paul asked. Where then is boasting? It is excluded because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. And he had just explained to us that we are justified by faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. In other words, he's saying here, when it comes to attaining righteousness before God, of being justified and thus gaining salvation, boasting is unthinkable. It is all God's doing, isn't it? It is all God's doing. It doesn't matter how moral you are. It doesn't matter how religious you are or how hard you keep trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Any confidence in our own spiritual accomplishments is misguided, is unproductive, and it misses the point of the gospel altogether, which is good news. It is good news that God's salvation cannot be earned, but it can be received by faith. It can be received by faith. So what do we boast in? Any of you boasted this week? What do you place your confidence in? Do we place confidence in ourselves? Let me ask you this. Is self-confidence even an option for the Christian? Is self-confidence even an option for us who believe that everything we have is from God? You know, we do tend to boast from time to time, don't we? Some of us. I'm glad David is back. Just, we have a you know, maybe you're a student and maybe you've boasted in your grades sometime. Maybe not out loud, but maybe we think it. Hey, I'm actually pretty good. Maybe I'm better than some others. Or maybe we boast in our trade or in our workmanship or in our relationships, or we boast in our family, or we boast in our good looks, or in some talent that we have, or some ability, or in our possessions, or in our predominance in one thing or another, when we compare ourselves to others. Do we boast in our spirituality when we look down upon others who are maybe not that far along in the faith? But Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? Try and answer that question. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you then boast as though you did not receive it? In other words, if everything you have is from God, why boast as though you are responsible for any of it? Is there any reason for us to boast? And try and answer that question. Is there a reason? Once in a while, I ask these trick questions from up here, right? Is there a reason? Could there be a reason for any of us to boast? Of course. Thank you, Professor. Appreciate that. We'll get to that in a moment. But you know, isn't it true we can so easily be smug in our superiority, even in our spiritual superiority? We tend to compare ourselves to others. You know, and Goliath did this. He probably looked at himself and he looked at little David and he started laughing. You know, when we read that story about David and Goliath, we notice that David himself was not without confidence either, was he? When we read the story, we are amazed at the amount of courage this little shepherd's boy had, who wasn't even able to properly fit into a coat of armor, nor was he even comfortable carrying a sword. So he simply took his little slingshot and he picked up 5 smooth stones. But we see in that story that David had a confidence, and at the same time, he had a great amount of humility. How do we know this? Let me just read a few verses. It says here in verse 45, it says, David said to this Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." Pretty confident. "This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Sounds like David wasn't without boasting himself, was he? But what's the difference? What's the difference about David's boast when we compare it to Goliath's boasting? See, David's confidence is in what? In whom? David's confidence was not in his own ability. It was not in self-confidence. What was David boasting in? David was boasting in the Lord. David's confidence was in the ability of Lord God Almighty, in whose name he approaches this giant. David knows it's not his slingshot, it's not those five stones, it's not his accuracy. It doesn't matter how much he practiced, it's the Lord. He gives glory to God. He boasts in his God, and he will give all of you into our hands. So is there ever a time for boasting?
Yes.
Okay, good. There is. There is a time for being exceedingly confident. Not in our own ability, Paul would say. Never in our religiosity or in our background or in our upbringing or our learning, or in our intelligence, or in our great morality, or in our devotion, or our faithfulness, or in our zeal. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul gives us a list of the things that he used to put confidence in. Here's what he used to boast in. Verse 5 of chapter 3, he says, "Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, rubbish, dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." Through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Is there ever a time for boasting? Paul would say there is. Read it in 1 Corinthians 1:31. He says, "Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Isn't that what Paul invites us to as we consider the good news of the gospel? We do have something to boast in, but it is not in our own accomplishments. It is not in our own righteousness. Paul considers all of his religious qualifications as garbage so that instead he may gain Christ and that he may gain a righteousness that comes from God and is on the basis and the basis alone of faith. So what do we boast in? What do we put our confidence in? We do have something to boast in. And remember, what it is you boast in, what it is you affirm by faith, what it is you put your confidence in determines how you respond to everything in life. See, Jesus offers us salvation, doesn't he? He offers us his righteousness for our unrighteousness. We receive his salvation by faith. It's a gift. And we can't mix in our own righteousness a little bit to bolster his gift. We can't mix in our own morality to see if we can score more points, or our own religious commitments or our devotion. The question when it comes to the gospel is simply this: what do you affirm by faith? What do you put your confidence in? What are you going to boast in? And the answer is in Jesus Christ alone. Amen? In Jesus Christ, he is my salvation. He is my everything. And if my faith and my confidence rests in him alone, and my boast is not in myself but only in him, then I will respond accordingly. My life will reflect a deep trust in my Savior, a deep gratitude in my God, a deep love for the Lord, and a desire to glorify him every day of my life. But you see, that only happens when by faith we put our confidence in him. Then we respond in like manner. But also, if my faith is my confidence, if my boast is in God and in him alone, then what happens when the Goliaths appear in our lives? What happens when, humanly speaking, there is no hope, when the challenges are just too great for us? What is my response? Self-confidence? Try a little harder. Be strong. Believe in yourself. I mean, isn't that what we hear this stuff in the church? It is anti-gospel. We are never to believe in ourselves. Please hear this. When my faith is in my great God, when my faith is in my great God, then I can go into the battle. Then I can go into the battle knowing that the battle belongs to the Lord. One more application. What happens when instead of blessings gained, blessing is taken from us? How do we respond when instead of benefits, adversity visits at our doorstep? And you see, it is in times like that, in times of great pressure, in times of tragedy, in times of trial and turmoil, that what we affirm by faith, what we put our confidence in, what we boast in, determines how we respond in life's darkest hours. I want to tell you a little bit more as I close about Jesse and his family. You know, as a few of us drove up to the funeral on Friday, I couldn't help but wonder, how will the parents be able to deal with such a tragic loss? How in the world can the dad go on after he himself caused the death of his precious son? How would the wife be able to look her husband in the eye and carry on? But you know what we witnessed on that day, and I think those of us, those of you who were there would give testimony to this as well. What we witnessed on that day is that what we boast about determines how we respond to life's joys and how we respond to life's sorrows. What we place our confidence in, what we place our faith in, makes all the difference in times of great trial. When we have reason to celebrate a great blessing, our boast is in God, who is the author of all good gifts. And when we have reason to grieve great losses, our boast is in God also. Our boast is in God also, who is the sustainer of his children in their greatest time of need. What the few of us who were there witnessed on that day of the funeral was this heart-wrenching picture of this little casket at the front of the church. And seeing the family, seeing the parents as they said their farewell to their precious child. But also, we witnessed a couple standing before us with great confidence. With great confidence in the knowledge that God loves them. They had great faith, a great confidence in seeing their little Jesse again because they trusted in the promises of God. Certainly, and they said this, as they spoke at the funeral, both of them, that they did not understand the why. And I don't think any of us would. They did not understand the why. But by faith, they had great confidence that God makes no mistakes. That God makes no mistakes. They had confidence that God would see them through this dark valley. Not because they are strong people, but because their strength is in the Lord. You know, there was boasting going on at that funeral on Friday. Boasting from a mom and a dad who experienced what perhaps would be the most horrific tragedy that any parent could ever experience. But there was boasting. There was boasting in a God who is faithful, a God who makes no mistakes. I spoke to Alex, the father, after the service, and he said this to me. He said, "You know what? I am so thankful that God gave us our Jesse, but I also must be thankful that God took our Jesse." He said this because if I am not thankful, even in the most difficult of circumstances, then I am saying that God has made a mistake and I'm not prepared to say that. And thus, I must give thanks to God. Can you imagine that? Does that not speak of having confidence in the right object? There was boasting on that day of the funeral, boasting in God, boasting in God's faithful confidence in God, faith in God. Jenny, the mother, she shared in the service right from up front, she shared that as she was kneeling on that driveway with her dead child next to her, she said that she needed to make a decision in that moment. She needed to make a decision whether she would hate God from that moment on or whether she would love him even more. She would love him even more. And she decided in her heart that she would put her hope and her confidence and her trust in God. There was boasting on that day, the funeral, not in human capabilities to deal with great adversity, not in human strength, not in some sort of belief in self to be able to overcome, but there was boasting in the Lord. There was boasting in the Lord. There was confidence in Him. There was the evidence of a childlike faith that sets its hope in God and God alone. There was great testimony given that it is our God from whom all blessings flow. Let's bow for prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so easily given to boasting in the wrong things. We place our confidence in stuff that doesn't last. We put our faith in things that cannot make good on their promises. We put our faith in people who disappoint. Put our hope in the pursuit of dreams and goals that turn up empty. So often, Lord, we put our confidence in self. What we can accomplish, what we can do. But today, Lord, we heard it said from your word that there is an alternative way of living this life, to boast only in you. And Lord, in order to do this, we first of all, I believe we need to repent. We need to repent as a people who live so much of their life based on self-reliance. We need to let go of our self-confidence, of our believing in ourselves in favor of believing in you. And so, Lord, we want to do that. We want to say to you even this morning, we are ready to give up, to relinquish, to give up on our self-confidence, on our sense of identity, on our securities, and all our grounds for self-dignity and self-worth, in exchange for placing our confidence in you and finding our true identity in you and boasting only in you for a righteousness that is not ours, for promises that are undeserved, for a love and a faithfulness that we haven't earned, for comfort and for hope that can only be found in you. Our God, what is there to boast in except to boast in you? And so may you, our God and Father, become our greatest treasure, our only reason for boasting. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.